right, before I get started, I just want to give a quick update. Down at Monarch Pass, we have finished our semester for the year, and last night we had one young girl trust in Christ last night, and that makes it all worth it if even one trusts in Christ. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll be in verses 12 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. I just want to thank Pastor Gillett, even though he's not here, and Earl Sides for the opportunity to preach tonight and trusting me with this platform. I'll try to do it justice here tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. Let's read it together. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yea, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-doing as unto a faithful creator." In my free time, usually on Fridays, I really enjoy spending my time playing video games. I know, nothing spiritual. But one of my favorite games has a really cool feature that I like. In the game, you have the option to leave a message for any other players who happen to come by that area. Some people like to leave, you know, a tip. Beware, an ambush is ahead, don't go this way. Or, this boss is really hard, try using ranged weapons. But one of my favorite messages in that game that I've ever come across was only two words. Just two words. And when I found them, they were set in front of a massive, ominous black door. And here's what the message said. It said, "Suffering ahead. Suffering ahead." And that is the title of my message tonight, if you're taking notes. Suffering ahead. You know, sometimes I wish life would come with a little message warning system. You know, you wake up on Monday and the Sunday vibe is completely gone. It'd be nice to have a heads up about everything that was going to happen that day. A heads up that the tire is going to go flat, or the kids are going to be out of control today. Beware, beware, suffering is ahead. It'd be nice to have a warning before our lives are flipped upside down or before we have another exhausting day. You know, it'd be nice to know before we go to work whether or not everyone's going to treat you differently. It'd be nice to know that if today was going to be hard and frustrating, it would have been nice to know that beforehand. It'd be nice if we all got a little message that says, that warned us that there's suffering ahead so we could be prepared. But unfortunately, we don't. Maybe you're here today and you find that you're tired from a hard day of work. I was talking to Colin Sides just before the service, and he said, "Philip, I'm tired." So this message is for him. I told you, Colin. Tired from an exhausting day of headaches and trials, or you're just tired from just being tired. You say today, this week, this month, this year, it has been nothing but suffering, and it would have been nice to have a little heads up, a little warning that suffering was ahead. It'd be nice to know so I could know how to deal with it. And if that's you tonight, you feel like that, you feel worn out, you feel like you've had a hard day, you feel like you've been doing a little bit of suffering this week, then tonight's lesson is for you. You see, the running theme of the book of Peter is a service and suffering. You see it all throughout the book. At the time of writing the letter, the Christians in Rome are really worldwide were under persecution. They were either about to start persecution or they were already undergoing hard, organized persecution. In fact, Peter himself, not long after writing this letter, is going to be martyred before the Emperor Nero. So what does this man who's under persecution, talking to persecuted people, suffering people, have to say about it? Let's remember, he's speaking to rich people, he's speaking to poor people, He's speaking to old people, to young people, to Jew and to Gentile, to those who are having the worst day of their lives, and to those who may just be tired. What does this man have to say about suffering? Well, first we see the confusion. The confusion. We see that in verses 12 to 13. Well, let's read it again. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to trial. Try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." The first word, beloved, this is a loving term. He loves the people that he's talking to, and he knows the trial and the struggle that they are going through, and he wants them to not be confused. In other words, don't be confused when those hard days come. We, in our humanity, desire to know why. We're always asking why. Why is this happening? Why is this going on? How did this come to be? We all have this desire in us to know why, to have these questions answered. All the way back, it started at the Garden of Eden. We have a questioning nature, a nature that is easily confused. And it's just the case when suffering comes. We are also confused and questioning when we come into suffering. I remember in college, I took a pastoral ministries course. And for a couple lectures, we talked about how to conduct a funeral, the steps and procedures, how to prepare a lesson. And I'll never forget one thing he said to me. He said, "If at all possible, when you're presenting your funeral message, avoid asking or answering the question why. Everyone in their auditorium may be thinking it, but you don't have the answer. And if you plant that questioning seed during the height of their pain, that will likely breed doubt and resentment toward God." So avoid the question, why? You see, when suffering comes, we need to fight against our nature, our questioning nature that's within us, and to ask God why. Peter doesn't want us to be confused, to ask those kind of questions. He just wants us to trust in God. Peter said, "Don't think it strange when you face a trial. They are to be a part of your life." And then it says, "to try you." They're a part of our life to try you. Trials come to try us. When the word try or tempt appears in the Bible, I always think of like a stick. You pick up a stick off the ground, and what's the first thing you do? You bend it. You see if it's going to hold up. You test its strength. You try its strength. And that's what it's talking about here. Our trials, our testings, our suffering, our hard days are here to try us, to see if we're going to break, to see if we're going to trust in God or if we're just going to bend and break. When the trials come, we often question and wonder, "God, how could you let this happen? I thought this Christian life was supposed to be easy. Why is this happening?" But the Bible says that we should expect trials. We should expect suffering. We should expect hard days, and that those days are actually for our good. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Hebrews 12:6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receive." 1 Thessalonians 3:4, "For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." You see, our trials and our suffering are not something that we should be confused about. They shouldn't confuse us, but they give us an opportunity to exercise our faith, to show us and those around us just how much we love God, how much faith we have in God, to show that and to show him. Suffering gives us an opportunity to say that this fire, this furnace that I'm in, is here to try me, not to melt me. This trial, though it bends me, is not going to break me. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We don't need to be confused about our trials, our hardships, our struggles. We need to trust in God. We also need to rejoice in our trials. That's what it says in verse 13. "But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." You see, when we take this outlook of this trial isn't here to break me, it's here to test me, it's here to grow me. If we take that outlook, when the hard days come our way, then it will cause a special reaction in our spirits. Instead of being confused or questioning God, it will actually lead to joy. How does this happen? How can joy come from suffering? We find the answer by simply looking at Jesus Christ. It says, you shall be partakers of Christ's sufferings. You see, when we trust in Jesus Christ, we believe on him as our Savior, we become heirs with Christ. And sometimes we even may suffer like Christ suffered, but we also partake in his exceeding joy. Think about it with me. What were Jesus' days of greatest suffering? Well, at the cross. What did he have to endure? Lots of pain? Was that pleasant? Was it hard? Did the cross mentally, physically, and spiritually exhaust Jesus? Sure it did, even to the point of death. But do you know what happened afterwards? We were justified. We were justified. God forgave us of our sins, and God was satisfied. And then 3 days later, Jesus was glorified. You see, there was a purpose to Jesus' suffering. There was a purpose to Jesus' pain. And because of that, there was joy at the end of it. There was joy that came from his suffering. Joy behind the sorrow. It says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. All that joy came from his suffering. Why? Because he knew it had a purpose. It wasn't for nothing. You see, we don't need to be troubled or confused by our trials. Rather, we need to rejoice and have joy because at the end of it, we still get Jesus Christ. You see, he endured trials and tribulations and rejoiced in it for us, for our sakes. He did that for us so we can also endure and we can also rejoice for him. You see, our suffering has a purpose to make us more like Christ and to grow us and strengthen our faith. And to inspire and encourage those around us who may also be going through a trial. The same, and also to glorify our Heavenly Father. So how can we have joy on these hard days? When the hard days come, when the suffering is ahead, how can we have joy? How can we rejoice? The same way Jesus did. Realize that we are accomplishing the Father's will and bringing him glory in the process. So we need to see the confusion when we suffer, when there's suffering ahead, when we're going through a hard day, there's confusion, but we don't need to be confused. So let's look at the bright side. Let's look at the bright side of our suffering. It's in verses 14 to 16. It says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. For their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You see, Peter knows his audience. He knows who he's talking to. He's talking to a church full of regular people just like we have here tonight. And he gets really, really practical. He says, if Satan in the world, I'm going to summarize it, if Satan in the world are making your life difficult, if you're facing some struggles, if you're facing some hard days, then we should be happy. Why? Because it means that we're doing something right. It says it right there, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Hebrews 12:7-8 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You see, all of us, when we are living in Christ and living in the Spirit, are going to suffer hard days. We're going to have hard times. And that's a good thing because it means we're doing something right. Peter is saying, look on the bright side. If you are going to suffer, suffer for being too much of a good Christian. And praise God that he is willing to work through you. You see, the world curses God, but we glorify God. The world works against Jesus Christ, but we work for him. You see, you could be suffering because of your sin or because you did something wrong, but You could be suffering because you are a murderer or a thief or a liar, like he says, but you're suffering because you glorified God too much. I mean, how cool is that? Not because of something bad that I've done in my suffering. I'm suffering because I'm glorifying my Father in heaven. You worked hard enough for the kingdom of God to gain the attention of hell. And that's what he's saying. Sometimes our suffering is brought on, not because of something bad we've done, but because of how much good we've done for the kingdom of God. Acts 5, 40 and 41 says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." You see, it could be worse. Our suffering could be worse. It could have a different reason behind the pain. There are worse reasons to be suffering, and we need to remember that we suffer and have bad days because we are children of God, and the world hated him first. It's not all about us. It's not the world against me. It's not me against the world. They hated Christ first, and they hate those who follow and worship after Christ. James 15, 18 and 19 says, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You see, we are a peculiar people. We're set apart from the world to be different, to serve our Savior and our God. And every day we stand for Christ and do what's right, the world is standing against us. And that can lead to our suffering. You see, I really, really enjoy watching police and military body cam footage on YouTube. Anybody else in that club like watching? No, just me? Okay, I'm the weird one. But when I watch this, I'm not watching it so I can see, you know, a traffic stop or watching them rescue a cat from a tree. That's not why I watch it. I watch it to see a shootout. I want to see guns drawn. I want to see missiles flying overhead. I want to see somebody slammed on the pavement. That's why I want to watch these body cam footages. I told you, I'm a spiritual guy. You know, while it's fun to watch these from the comfort of my own home and to be in my easy chair eating my snacks while I watch, I need to know that everyone in the video is not having a good time. They're suffering. They're going through hardship. They're not having any fun whatsoever. Not the police officers, not the military, not the criminals or the bad guys. No one is having a good time, and everyone is suffering. Yet I would much rather be suffering because I had a badge on my chest that said Fort Worth Police Officer. I'd much rather be suffering because I have stars and stripes on my shoulder and I'm suffering for justice and doing what's right than to be suffering because of the evil I've done. If I'm going to have a hard day, if I'm going to be suffering, if there's suffering ahead, I'd rather it be hard because I'm doing what's right and the world is fighting against me than doing wrong and sinning and having God fight against me. You see, Hebrews 10:31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So look on the bright side. You could be suffering because of bad, because of sin, because of evil, but we get to suffer because we do right. We get to suffer for making Christ look good. And I think that's a better reason to suffer. Let's look lastly at the Creator. The Creator. We saw the confusion. We saw the bright side of our suffering. Let's look at the Creator. Let's look at the Creator. What does our passage have to say about the Creator? It starts in verse 17. It says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." You see, the final part of this passage of scripture really has a simple message, and here it is. The world will get what it deserves, so trust God until you get there. And that's it. That's the whole message. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." You see, whether in this life here and now or in eternity after, we know that God must judge sin. And all of us have to give an account for the things that we have done. And the only thing that separates us here today from those who, like it says, have not obeyed the gospel is our faith in Jesus Christ. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, judgment begins at the house of God, and we escape here today, escape the wrath of God by faith. But for those who have not believed the gospel, who have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who are not a part of the house of God, they don't have an escape. And they have to answer for every single sin that they've ever done. You say, what is sin? Well, we teach our kids at Monarch Pass this. Sin is anything we say, anything we think, anything we do that breaks God's law. Think about it. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever thought an impure thought? How many times a day have you done that? You see, all of those things must be accounted for. And the only reason that some of us will be righteous before God and some of us will be cast away from God is who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If we are suffering today and we are part of the house of God, we can take comfort in knowing that if we trust God with our eternal souls, we can also trust him with our suffering. If God is loving enough to send his only begotten son to die for us while we were sinning against him, he is loving enough to care about our pain. He is loving enough to help us through our suffering. You see, he's not a one and done God. He's not, all right, you're saved. I'll see you when you get to heaven. He doesn't abandon us. He is always with us. He is always present, always near. He is, like it says, a faithful creator. And he cares for his creation. 1 Peter 5:7, just a little bit further down, says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. See, I don't know what struggle you came in here with tonight. I don't know what is going on in all of y'all's lives, or what trial you may be facing, or burden you may be carrying. I don't know if you've ever felt pressure at work or at life, and it just felt like every day was a struggle and a suffer. I don't know if you're having a tough time or what is going on or what you're going through, but I do know that God is faithful. I do know that he is near and he is going to help you through it. So don't be confused by your trial, by your suffering. Don't think, I don't know why this is happening. It has a purpose and you just need to trust God. Look on the bright side. It could be worse. You could be suffering for evil. You could be suffering alone, but instead you could be suffering for good. And you are suffering with God by your side. And if you are willing to trust God with your eternal soul and your eternal destination, then you can trust him to get you through your suffering. You see, no trial, no suffering, no pain lasts forever. And no suffering is permanent. So just give it to God. Fall at his feet and lean on your faithful creator. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't trusted God with your eternal soul. Maybe you've been trusting yourself, you're trusting your good works, or never really thought about what happens after death. But I want you to know that there is only one escape from the judgment, and that is to trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus already paid for your sin when he died on the cross. He took God's judgment for your sin on himself and offers you eternal life in exchange. And it's a free gift. All you have to do is reach out by faith, believe it, and accept it. If you're here tonight and you say, I've already done that, well, then I need to ask you, is there suffering ahead? Was there suffering before? Have you suffered? Have you felt pain? Have you felt trials even today, even tonight? Why don't you just come and fall at the feet of your faithful creator? Why don't you just ask him, what is the purpose of this? I need your help. I need you to be with me. I don't want to go it alone. Please be with me. No matter what you're going through, no matter how you're suffering tonight, you need to know that God loves you, God cares for you, and he can get you through your suffering. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how much you care for us. We thank you that you are a near and close God. I thank you that every day that we see that there's suffering on the horizon, suffering ahead, we know we don't have to face it alone. You are right there beside us. You are right there to help us. And if we will just call out and ask for your help, you will give it. I pray for everyone here tonight that they would fall at your feet with whatever cares or struggles they have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.